It's my pleasure then to ask Brother Clyde to come up and deliver the necessary words of exhortation. Brother Clyde.
Good morning, brother and sisters. If we added Psalm 127 to our list of readings this morning, which says in verse 1, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who do it. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. If we added that, it would be obvious from the start that we wanted to talk this morning about building. And you might say, well, Brother Chase gave a very good exhortation last week about edifices and edifying and building. And and I've discussed this with Brother Chase. However, my exhortation was put on the list in December 2019 for next week. These readings are for next week. So I thought, well, got a visiting speaker, probably won't use the readings for the day. So I kept my exhortation. So here we are. So let's continue thinking about building and buildings. I want to say to begin with about buildings that we really should be concerned, most of us in this room, about a building that's right now been condemned in Langford. It's 11-story concrete, cast-in-place concrete building. It's been closed down and the tenants sent packing. Due to suspected structural issues. An engineering problem, maybe. Improper building procedures, maybe. Lacking in oversight, probably. Who really knows at the moment? However, there are questions concerning the gravitational beams. The gravitational beams are the ones that keep the building from gravitating, going down this way. And as well, the lateral beams, which keep the building from flopping over the other way. You probably don't want to live in a building like that. And sadly, in our experience in the construction industry, there are lots of sad examples of structural problems during overheated building booms, including what is now the famous or infamous leaky condo crisis of a number of years back, now maybe moving towards a crumbling concrete crisis. However, it may be concluded that participants in the construction industry look and listen, but don't always do. And the point here is that when you're building, you have to listen, and then you have to do, as we'll see Jesus said in Luke chapter 10. So building the house. When we think of Psalm 127, 28 to 9, 30, these psalms are a collection that are headed up in your Bible as songs of ascents. Songs of ascents. And there's been much written about these particular psalms. There's 15 of them. They go from 120 to 134. And I've spent some time, as maybe many of you have, trying to sort that out. What do they mean by songs of ascents? And here's what I suggest. They were a set of songs that were sung by the Israelites when they went up to Jerusalem on the feast days. The families got together, and they came from all over the country, and they went up to Jerusalem three or four times a year, possibly. They were families, and they were groups of families, and they sang these songs as they went up to Jerusalem. Now, they're really significant because if you do just a quick sort of thumbnail sketch of the 15 of them, you will find that there are songs about the fear of the Lord, songs about Mount Zion, Jerusalem, and the kingship of David, songs about the family, fathers, mothers, and children, songs about redemption, about restoration, about peace, about the maker of the heavens and the earth, about the defeated enemies of the maker of the heavens and the earth. Songs about God's care and oversight of his people and of Israel. Songs about the divine statutes and the laws. About mercy, about forgiveness, about trust. About priests being clothed with righteousness. About saints singing for joy. About dwelling in unity. About praise and blessing. About sowing, reaping, and building. This is an instructive, comprehensive, fundamental list of hymns for every family hymn book. Instructive, comprehensive, foundational list of hymns for every family hymn book. Now, before we proceed, I'd like to make a specific comment. As a speaker, I am under a compulsion from my Creator, as is any speaker who is going to stand on this platform, under a compulsion from my Creator to speak biblical truth. Again, as is every brother, as is every member of our community who listens and speaks, we must speak biblical truth. We're all under that compulsion. To respond to God's word with truth. This is all about speaking truth. And if I or anyone else fails to remind you of these biblical truths, we would be speaking from a closed Bible and possibly an empty head, I might add. So unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor in vain. Psalm 122, verse 1. And as we go into Psalm 128, the husband, the father, is the head of the house, as we will see. It goes on to say, blessed are all who fear the Lord and who walk in his ways. And these are speaking specifically to fathers, again, as we will see. Two essential household requirements for the father, fearing and walking. And you know, in the end, this is all quite simple stuff. Fearing and walking. Now, walking, we know what that is. We don't have to do a word search on walking because we do it all the time and we know it means doing things and moving and getting things done. It means that we do. Now, fear is a little bit different because fear, sometimes we go and say, well, that's reverence, which is true. Hearing, which is connected with the idea of fear. But the overwhelming number of uses of this word fear mean afraid, scared, with consequences. So we can't sugarcoat these things, brothers and sisters. We're talking about fear and walking. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, Hebrews 10, verse 31. But these two words have to go together, as we'll see in the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 10. The binary basis of biblical building. Binary means two. The binary basis for biblical building, two inseparable concepts, fearing and walking. Hearing, listening, and doing. Oh, and the wife is addressed as being the fruitful vine within his house. That's why we know it's the dad he's talking about in the first verse. The wife is addressed as being a fruitful vine within his house. Now, I know this is not politically correct, but we need to think about truth and what the Lord is saying to us. This happens that we live in a very ungodly world. Homes are much less patriarchal, much more egalitarian, and leading to, very often, matriarchal, but not according to the definition that the Lord has given us. The Lord isn't building all the houses today. Husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And then following, sons are like olive shoots, verse 3 of 128, around the table. Now, certainly, He's talking about blessing as you go through Psalm 127. He's talking about the results of blessing. He's talking about the results of fathers who fear and walk, of mothers who are fruitful vines around the table. And he's talking about sons and family who are olive shoots. And there'd be no better metaphor for productivity and wealth in Israel from the time that Joshua entered the land of Canaan. And even to today, we're talking about olives and olive oil. It's a major part, a valuable part of Israeli agriculture from those days till now. Children, of course, verse 3, and heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from him. Now this man, in verse 4, 128, this man is blessed who fears the Lord, who fears and walks. And the Lord will bless him from Zion all the days of his life. And there's continuity, there's stability, there's long life. He may see his children's children. Stability and continuity. It begins with the godly father who listens and does, and then all the blessings flow. Well, what's wrong with society today? The Lord isn't building the houses. Worldwide, and certainly in Western societies, we have a critical shortage of fathers in society. Everybody knows that. Houses, rather, are being built with the anti-God humanistic philosophy, group speak, political correctness of a deadly, rapidly dissolving society, and we all know that too. A society that no longer fears, hears and listens to God's voice, a society that no longer does by walking in his ways, is a rapidly dissolving society. We live in a world of ease and wealth, but it's also a world that is noonic in violence, evil, self-focus. And the godly principles of building the house is no longer the order of the day. That is why so many houses are blown away in the storms of life. Houses collapsing. No foundations being swept away. That's why we need to turn to Jesus in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46 to 49. Jesus takes up this allegory. It's basic to the Old Testament. It's basic to the nation of Israel. It's basic to all societies. It's basic to you and I. So in verse 46, Jesus is talking to probably a small group of disciples. He had been up on the mountain where there was thousands of people. He had moved by chapter 6, verse 46, to a smaller group of people. And so his words are appropriate and applicable to this smaller group of people, probably his 12 disciples, the entourage, relatives, people who were following, but a fairly focused group of people. And look what he says. You call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say. So there's these two parts of this equation here. People were calling him Lord. People were celebrating the fact that he was the Lord. People were traveling with him and were in his company calling him Lord. But they weren't doing what he told them to do. He said, I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my word and then puts it into practice. I will show you, he said, what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. Well, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood rose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built, as the ESV says. This, says Jesus, is the person who hears and does, builds his house on a rock. It does not fall. The Lord builds that house. But then there are people of the other class who hear, who say, Lord, Lord, but do not do what he says. And they build their house on sand. I like sand because that's the old King James word. I think now we read something like on the ground, which is somewhat similar. But the one who hears my words and does not do them, Jesus says, is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the storm broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. When the storm comes, literally the bottom falls out. There's no foundation. That is a person who hears and knows but does not do. And whether that's the building in Langford or any other building, it's the same principle. Those who hear say, Lord, Lord, but do not do. And the storms will come. The parable indicates even to the godly folk, the storms will come. And storms, brothers and sisters, are necessary. Storms are necessary to prove how to build a good house, clearly, because one will stand and one will not. Storms are instructive. The psalmist says in 119, verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. I was doing things all wrong before the Lord afflicted me. And then I could see the light. But now, he says, I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes that I may delight in your law. Let me hear. Let me listen. Let me focus. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Psalm 119, verse 67. Hebrews 12, verse 5, Proverbs 3, verse 11 says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. So yes, the storms of life are important to educate us, to keep us in the way, to keep us from going astray. Wise builders, let the Lord build. Psalm 128, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Who build it? Foolish builders build their own houses. No plans, no permit, no building code, no oversight. The now universal problem, shortage of qualified labor, too busy. All of those excuses. We naturally do not like to be told either. We build this house at our own peril. And some of them don't stand up. Most of them don't. And Jesus is not talking about the pagans of the world, as I've mentioned already. Luke chapter 6, verse 20 says, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. He had now come towards the end of chapter 6, to this little grouping of disciples. He was talking to them personally. This is personal. He's talking about us. It is all personal. He is talking about our approach to building. Both houses that were being built that Jesus was describing were being built in relatively the same location. His listeners could imagine both of those houses being there, one on rock and one close by on sand. Subject to the same storms. The difference was in the building process, in the listening and doing. Now on the rock, dug deep, on a rock, more costly, yes, harder work, yes, but a good foundation. On the sand, shallow, no stability, no foundation, looks good, cheaper to build. The difference, of course, is below the ground, but it looked good. Often you don't have any idea that there is no foundation. But again, hearing and doing, this is what makes the building. Now, there were a number of apostles standing around, as we can imagine. Maybe the 12. Maybe Jesus' brother, James. Most likely, Jesus' brother, James. Because he writes an amazing piece about this in his epistle, James 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. So he picks up these two fundamental words and puts them together. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. If you're doers of the word and not are doers of the word and not hearers, you're deceiving yourselves, says James. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. Now I brought one. I had a choice of two. One was pink, and this one is wood grain. James says this: you get up in the morning and you look at your natural face. Your natural face is, let's say, the one you get up with in the morning. And you look at it and you go, see? Because the mirror is telling you something. It's reflecting something. It's information that you need to be listening to and paying heed to. And when you do, you go, oh, I better do something about that. Better do something about that. The Word of God, of course, is the mirror. We look at it and it tells us what we're looking like today. So we got to be hearers of the information and doers. And I did a quick scan of this room when I got here this morning, and I don't think I have been able to spot anybody who came looking like they just got out of bed. Couldn't find anybody. So clearly you all do. You all look at the mirror. Well, maybe some of you, that's the way you look all the time. But I'm just saying that we do that as part of our daily routine. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he saw, what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. And that's what Psalm 127 tells us, and that's what Jesus tells us, and that is what James clearly picked up and put it into his epistle. James paints an interesting picture for us, a picture of hearing and doing. And faith, we are told, comes from hearing. And hearing comes from the Word of God. Not hearing, but no change in habits or doing or fixing, but hearing and doing. Do not just listen to the Word and delude yourself, but hear and do. And James goes on to say in chapter 2 and verse 14, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith and has not works? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. What profit indeed? Can faith save us? Can listening save us? Can going around saying, Lord, Lord, save us? No, it has to be accompanied by doing, listening and doing. Ephesians 2, verse 8, this is a conflict between faith and works resolved by grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that we might boast and say, well, he did a good job of cleaning up this morning. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that ye should walk in them. We have to hook up listening with walking. There's no conflict either between faith and works. We need both. It's two sides of the same coin, in a sense. It's the root and the tree, and the root and the fruit of the same tree. We know Abraham was credited with righteousness because he heard and he believed, but he also believed and went and walked and took his son up into the mountain. That's faith with works. This is how we build the Lord's house. We hear and do. We must build strong houses with strong foundations. However, it doesn't mean that there won't be storms, as we've already said. We will. They will come from every direction, as they came in Jesus' parable, from the rain above, from the floods below, from the wind, from all sides, north, south, east, and west. Indeed, says Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, all who live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted and will suffer the storms of life. Why do some good-looking houses just float away? Well, they're maybe built on Lord, Lord, maybe religious activity. This is not a good foundation. It has to be built on a rock. It has to be built on hearing and doing. Now, there was surely two other disciples present when Jesus was giving this parable about building. One would have been Peter, and the other would have been Judas. I don't think my mind's imagination's running away on me here. They both had the same house in the same location near Jesus. Peter's house, metaphorically, and Judas's house. Both had a house, roughly the same location, near Jesus. Both houses were subject to the same tragic storms. Judas had a good-looking house. He was a treasure. He looked good. No one even knew that it was Judas that was going to sell out. They all looked at themselves and said, "Is it I?" But when the storm broke, Judas's house floated away. Peter's house didn't look so good from time to time. However, he was built on the rock. There may be 75 disciples of Jesus in this room this morning, listening to Jesus. Are our houses built on the rock? Do we listen and do? There is no other foundation, of course. Our hope is built on nothing less. Our solid rock is Christ. That's where we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Unless we allow the Lord's instruction to build our house, our labor is in vain. Unless we hear and do, we're wasting our valuable time. And as we come this morning to this moment of reflection and remembrance, are we asking the right questions? What is the takeaway of this lesson on building as we share these emblems? Are we a Peter building on the rock or a Judas building on the sand? Is the Lord building our house? Are the plans, the oversight, the process all subject to the divine plan? Is the ordering of the house left up to Jesus, who we remember this morning? Does our building include digging down, setting life's foundations on the rock, the solid rock, our Lord Jesus Christ? Are we hearing, fearing, listening carefully and attentively to the instructions of Jesus, his message of sacrifice and love? Are we walking and doing? If we are, our houses will stand firm and not float away in the storms of life.